Please be seated. I didn't know if she was going to read those or not. Oh, God bless and good morning. For those of you that don't know me, I am Michelle Armstrong's wife. Sorry, honey, I had to do it. I didn't know if I was going to make it up here this year. As some of you know, we contracted a mutated version of the Ebola virus amongst my family via our little blessings during the holiday season, and have been trying to work that out of our system since last year. If you tried to talk to me the past few days and it appeared that I was tactically trying to avoid you, that's because I was. Thank you, Dad, for letting me teach God's Word here this weekend, and thanks for all that you do to make this available and putting it all together. 2020, considering seeing accurately, what has been on my heart to share with you this morning is some old, boring news. In 1 Peter 1:25, I'm going to read these scriptures, and for brevity's sake, you guys don't have to look them up, but you can make a note and look them up later. I'm just going to keep going. 1 Peter 1:25 says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." The dated news I'd like to share and remind us all about today is the importance of God's word. I know this sounds obvious and redundant and foundational, and that's simply because it is. God's word, when presented as the true word of God, or in other words, when it's taught or understood rightly, as God intended it, transcends time, people, and organizations. There is one way that God decided to make himself known. There is one way that God decided to communicate with people. There is one way that God shows us his will, and that is with words, and more specifically, his words. Let's take a quick look and see how God describes his word. Psalms 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Psalms 12:6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Ever heard of somebody wondering what they are going to do with their lives or where they need to go? Psalms 119:105, "The word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path." God's word has the power to show you where to go. Psalm 18, verse 30 says, "As for God, his way is upright. The word of God is pure. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him." And Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's word, when rightly divided, is a life form. It's strong. It's razor sharp. And it can cut right between the BS. Not the body and soul. Through all the noise. To get to your heart. To get to my heart. So that it can accomplish what God would have it to accomplish. Those are just a few of the many verses that explain the importance of God's word. It's right, it's pure, it's illuminating, it's alive. When you hear God's word rightly divided, it will be all of these things. From God's word, we learn his will concerning the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We learn that there are 9 manifestations, and 3 of them are utterance, in which 2 of them we can use in a setting like this. Word of prophecy and speaking in tongues with interpretation. Those 2 are for our benefit, encouragement, and betterment of the believers present in a meeting like this. These are words from God for the people currently present to hear. In 1 Corinthians, we figure out a little bit of what it's about. 1 Corinthians 14:2, "For he that speaketh In a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in a tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. I have attended a gajillion believers' meetings where these two utterance manifestations are brought forth. And you know what God never seems to forget to remind us and encourage us about? His word. We heard it this morning. All three of us. Go to my word. Study my word. Search my word. I'm going to back up that word. It's about the word. You think it's important to God? All of the things we as believers could be edified by, God tends to choose his word as one of his main methods. What does it say in Timothy? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God, via Paul, to Tim, amongst other great words of encouragement, he reminded him of the importance of God's word. 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known thy holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly perfected unto all good works, throughly furnished. Of all the information God would have wanted Timothy to know and be extremely clear on was the importance of God's word in his life. I also can't help but think about Jesus Christ when he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. In Matthew 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. This record came to mind for a couple reasons. The first is that man is designed by God, the Creator, to get life from physical food, like bacon and green beans. In addition to getting life from the Word of God. Food and the Word. Those are the two things that a human body needs. Someone can have all the money in the world. They can have all the friends. They can have all the fame. They can have the house. They can have everything. They can have the best food that money can buy. And they can still feel empty. Because they are designed to have both the food and to have the Word of God in their life. They can be starving still. And on the flip side, this is why Jesus was hungry. Because he hadn't eaten anything for 40 days. He was on the verge of starvation. A human body isn't designed to only have food from the Word. It's, you know, it's designed to have both, and they're both equally important. The other reason I wanted to share this record is to show you your enemy's main tool to defeat God's people, and that is the mishandling or wrongly dividing of the Word. This same tactic is used by the adversary all the time, and he's actually really good at it. There are gigantic ministries based on the Word of God. So what do we do about it? That seems a little unfair if you ask me. Well, fortunately for us, Jesus Christ knows and teaches us exactly how to handle the adversary. And this is with the rightly divided Word of God. And with that, the devil, by the law of the universe, can't even be in the same room as it. He has to go away. It's just the way it is. That's why it's so important for a Christian believer to study and to know. Let's go back to 1 Peter where we started. 1 Peter 1, we'll start in verse 24. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of God, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Grass, I mean, I'm a landscaper, is awesome. And when it blooms, it's gorgeous. I picture a high mountain meadow in the spring. But after it's done blooming, and the seasons change, the grass withers away, and those flowers, they fall down. People can be awesome. And when they're at what you might call their peak, or their career is at, you know, their highest, they're blooming, and there is glory in that. And it is pretty, and it's beautiful, and it's fun to be around, and it's awesome. But that will fade, as we've seen time and time and time again. And the person will inevitably wither away. But as the people and the grass wither, along with any glory they may have shown, the word of God lives on and endures forever. I remember back in the day when my brother and Kelly were first dating. Tim and I took our ladies camping on Priest Lake, where I continued in my lifelong role of teaching my brother how to fish. A conversation sparked around the fire about Dr. Victor Paul Werbel, mostly coming from the outsider, Kelly, who had only recently heard about him. Who he was, why does everyone in your group seem to know about him, etc. An honest and intelligent question from someone considering a lifelong engagement with this new tribe. Kelly may be quiet, but that's only because she's smarter than you. After an hour or so of giving our 2 cents, maybe Tim gave like 50 cents, on the matter, this was the conclusion. He was a man called by God to teach the word like it hadn't been known since the first century. He started a ministry called The Way, where he taught the word like it hadn't been known since the first century. The Way boomed into a global evangelistic powerhouse, complete with a college, camps, buses, schools, staff, planes, coaches, and a lot of other stuff that I don't even know about. Then he fell asleep, and so did The Way, as it were. The only thing that withstood the test of time was the rightly divided word that he taught. The truth that God showed him and that he shared and taught to others, whether it be on tape or in the hearts of those that heard it. And I think of Walter Cummins, Chris Gere, Johnny Townsend, your mom, your dad, my mom, my dad. I remember telling her, Kelly, no matter what you hear, no matter what you read about or you find on the internet, the only part that matters is the rightly divided word he taught, and that's what has endured. That's what has withstood the test of time. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry?" All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. There is one way that God decided to make himself known. There is one way that God decided to communicate with people. There is one way that God shows us his will, and that is with sunsets. Birds singing? Is it with healing people? Is it with Yosemite National Park? All of those things are great and awesome. But God decided to choose words to make himself known, and more specifically, his words. God saved this book. He values it just as much then as he does today. He encourages us to know it, to read it, to seek him out in it. And that's how he works with his people, through his word. And that's what I wanted to share and remind us all about this morning, his word. Next up. I am privileged to introduce. I was thinking if there's anybody that I could introduce today, I was hoping it was going to be this feller. I have known this guy for 28 years. He has many skills. He can shred the guitar like no one else I know. We have done a lot together over the years. Some good and some not as good. He's the father of two beautiful girls. He's the husband of a nerd pop star. I was thinking of this morning. You know, we're all snowflakes. Everybody's a little different. Some people are 8 feet tall and they're in the NBA. And some people are like my wife, not that tall. We all have gifts, you know, it seems. And throughout the years, I've seen in this man's life that he has been given the gift of kindness. It doesn't matter what he goes through, what people may do to him, he always chooses to be kind first. And I'd like to introduce my dear friend, Reverend Lamb.